This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, ready to roll here on a Saturday morning. Thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR solutions with exceptional follow-through. You can also get your questions in on X at ESPN 97.5. I'm in Carrollton, Texas, just north of Dallas for the LIV Golf Team Championships at Merido Golf Club. Charlie, you're joining us from San Antonio with some high-level college golf that you're about to watch. Charlie, how are you this morning? What's new?
You know, what's new is I'm starting a new career as a grandfather watching his grandson play golf and reporting on it at the same time.
Now he's playing in San Antonio. What course is he at? Is he at the TPC San Antonio course?
Yes, the home of the tour event designed by Greg Norman. And when Greg designed this golf course, I think he was in a bad mood. It's really diabolical.
We had a couple college events there as well. It was one of the hardest courses on the schedule. Charlie, we sit here, you know, we're midway through the fall. We're coming off a really good Solheim Cup, which we're going to get to. I feel that LIV Golf came to Dallas at a great time and brought the team championship here at a great time. If you look at the other schedules, there's a lot of tours that aren't playing at the moment, and I think that the world needed a little bit more golf this time of the year. I feel LIV Golf was able to squeeze in at a very good time on the calendar.
Yes, there's no doubt about it, and they're making headway, but not very fast. But I think something very, very important happened on the golf scene this week is when the PGA of America, which I'm a member of, and we have 30,000 members, and we promote golf all over the country and all over the world, they okayed LIV players to be able to play in our championship, the PGA, if they're eligible, if they can get the right points. And also, and this is the big one, the Ryder Cup. They okayed them to play in the Ryder Cup. And the Ryder Cup was established, you know, by the PGA of America, the golf professionals. And there's always been a rule, you have to be a member of the PGA of America. Well, I guess you're going around that, and only to promote the game of golf. So, I mean, there's been a move made, so maybe now the PGA Tour and LIV can come to an agreement, and we can live happily ever after.
I would love to see everyone back playing together, Charlie. And we're going to have, at 8:15, we're going to have Jerry Foltz join the show. He's a LIV Golf TV analyst who came over from Golf Channel 3 years ago. It's going to be great to have his insight. And then at 8:45, we'll have Arlo White on the show. And Arlo does play-by-play for LIV Golf's TV coverage. And it's going to be interesting to get his take on kind of the relegation system of LIV, Charlie. You know, if you're not inside the top 48 on LIV Golf's money list last year, you get relegated, you know, where you have to go back to the one qualifier tournament or you have to go back to the Asian Tour. But Charlie, for the most part, you know, you get your membership out here from on an invitational basis, you know, on LIV. And I think that's where maybe the official world golf rankings has a couple issues, is there's not a besides the Asian Tour and the one qualifier series tournament, there's not a legitimate way where just anyone can qualify for the tour like on the PGA Tour.
Yes, that's unfortunate, but they got to work a few more kinks out and so we can get along. I mean, that's, you know, that's what life's all about. Let's find a way to make this work. And I think the PGA of America stepped forward and helped, you know, push that decision, you know, in a shorter, you know, time frame, so we can get on with just good pure golf.
No doubt. And Al Huddleston, that is, he's the owner of Merido. He built this phenomenal golf course here in Carrollton. It really is a one of a kind test, Charlie. You know, on Wednesday night, we talked to players like Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka and John Rahm, Joaquin Niemann. They were all very impressed with this test. And, you know, the fairways are not that wide. You have huge kind of gorge bush rough. And Charlie, this is the second LIV tournament in Texas on the season. They were in Houston. We were in Houston with them at the beginning of June. Carlos Ortiz won that tournament. I thought Golf Club of Houston did a great job as well. And I think both of these courses were ready for a LIV, you know, for a professional golf tournament, and they have the infrastructure to do so. Charlie, for both tournaments as well, though, I mean, it has not, the temperature has not dropped below, you know, 100 degrees. You know, when you're talking about the prime time of the tournaments, you know, Dallas yesterday got up to about 108 degrees out in Carrollton, and there's pretty limited tree coverage. So that's something to keep an eye on. However, the top three teams on LIV in this format, it's a quarterfinal, semifinal, and final format. The top three the top three teams got a bye, so they were able to stay out of the sun yesterday. But it is hot, Charlie. But I think you have to give it to Al Huddleston and Merido Golf Club for this incredible venue.
Yes, I've heard nothing but really great things about that golf course. I like it, a golf course. I'm not quite sure what a venue is. That's what Jackie Burke used to say.
I know.
We have a golf course we play on. But having said that,
you remember Houston, Charlie. It's quite a build out, you know, for the LIV tournaments.
They did things very, very professional, very, very first class. So they get it, and that's why we all got to come together. But so the schedulers for next year, they won't put this tournament this week in Dallas because of the heat. They'll find a better way to schedule the tournaments.
Yeah, they're still working on that schedule for kind of the back end of next year, but I'm going to take your word on it because it's blazing out here. It's, you know, limited tree coverage, very hot. But, you know, I think the players actually enjoy playing in the heat a lot more. Balls traveling a long way. Merido is a tough golf course with an 80.5 slope rating, so they'll take any advantage they can get. Listen, for those who are in Dallas, you can get your tickets for today's action at livegolf.com. In match one, you have Bryson DeChambeau's Crushers facing off against Kevin Na's Ironheads. Kevin Na and his team, they upset the team Smash yesterday. That's Brooks Koepka's team Smash. And Kevin Na and Danny Lee, they beat them in their quarterfinal match yesterday. So Brooks Koepka's week is done. Him and the Smash will go home after yesterday. The Crushers and Ironheads will face off in match one. In match two, you have John Rahm's Legions against Phil Mickelson's High Flyers. Mickelson and the Flyers had a good win yesterday in the quarterfinals. In match three, you have Cam Smith's Rippers against Sergio Garcia's Fireballs. And then in match four, you have Louis Oosthuizen's Stingers against Dustin Johnson's Aces. So a lot of golf to come out and watch. Get your tickets at livegolf.com. Charlie, your big event, your scholarship event. And once again, we're going to get Jerry Foltz on at 8:15. He's LIV Golf's analyst. Arlo White at 8:45, so stick around for that. But, Charlie, you have your big tournament on Monday, the Charlie Epps Scholarship. You've raised over $100,000 for junior golfers and those who are in college needing additional scholarship. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Well, I'm just so proud of what I call Charlie's Angels, all of the people that have supported me over the years in all of my projects and supporting the charities. And what we're doing with this money is providing kids with scholarship money that they can study instead of having to flip hamburgers to, you know, stay in school. And so we're raising some serious money, and thanks to all the great sponsors, starting with Insperity. They just have done a wonderful job supporting me, and I really thank it, and the Golf Club of Houston. And so we're going to have a glorious day tomorrow celebrating golf and getting some money and pass it out to needy kids.
Yeah, no, yeah, and we get a couple of them on the show from time to time, hear about their story. They've gone to schools like University of Texas and Rice University, and you know, even specific, as far as education, specific schools like Letourneau. Charlie, you've given scholarships to a couple pilots, you know, so making a huge impact from top to bottom. You know, as far as the world of golf and professional golf, you know, we did have the Solheim Cup finish up last week. Charlie, it was great to see the American women get their first Solheim Cup win since 2017 there last week at Robert Trent Jones.
Yes, and my hat's off to all of the contestants, all of the teams that they put on quite a show. These ladies have really gotten to be really great at swinging the golf club and putting the ball with their putter, but more importantly, they were great sportsmen, sportsmen or sports ladies, however you want to put it, and they competed and they fought hard, and thanks to Stacy Lewis, who was the team captain, our team came out, our team, the United States, came out on top after a great, great week of golf. And I was never more impressed watching this tournament and watching the quality of golf. Well, it was outstanding.
It really was. And Stacy Lewis really proved that her captain's picks were the correct ones. 31-year-old Lauren Coughlin, who was a Solheim Cup rookie last week, she went 3-0-1, was a major catalyst for Team USA. Rose Zhang went 4-0-0, and Andrea Lee proved to be a great counterpart alongside Zhang. I was worried a little bit there for the Americans on Sunday when Charlie Hull took down Nelly Korda in match one. I thought things would get a little interesting there, but then, you know, Rose Zhang beating Carlota Singada last Sunday, you know, Singada, an excellent Spaniard who's proven to be very difficult to beat in the Solheim Cup setting. You know, that was a huge match. That was a huge match as far as momentum and swinging the momentum the Americans' way. So, Americans got it done against the Europeans last week at the Solheim Cup, the 19th one. And I believe the Americans improved their overall Solheim Cup record to 13. It's 11 to, it's now 11 to 8 in favor of the United States. We got to go to break. On the other side, we're going to have Jerry Foltz on the show. Jerry is LIV Golf's TV analyst. We appreciate him spending some time with us this morning. Also, we got some European Tour action going on, Charlie. As far as the BMW PGA at Wentworth, you have Rory McIlroy 4-under through 11 holes. He's in a tie for first at 13-under and tied with Matteo Manassero at the top at 13-under. Remember, Manassero won the 2013 BMW Championship before he went through his big 10-year slump, and now Manassero is, you know, 19th on the DP World Tour money list, and if he can get a win this week, he's going to be able to advance himself into the top 10 and potentially get his PGA Tour card in six events. The DP World Tour has six events left, at the end of that run, you've got the top 10 on the DP World Tour punching their cards to the PGA Tour next year. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. Jerry Foltz joins us next segment here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference, back after this.
ESPN 97.5.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
Nice to have you with us as we bring you the latest as far as the world of golf, live from the LIV Golf Team Championship at Merido. Charlie, you've got your good friend and LIV Golf TV analyst Jerry Foltz joining us live. Jerry, great to have you aboard.
Great to be here. And Charlie, I love this venue.
It was great. It was unbelievable. Jerry, I'm so proud of you. You know, you've always been one of my favorites. And as an announcer, you've really, really taken charge.
Well, I'd tell you what, I got a heck of an opportunity with Liv. It obviously wasn't without risk when we started, but it feels like I've been in training for this my whole life. I absolutely love it out here.
Well, Jerry, the PGA of America really made a big move. We've got 29,000 members, and we meaning our organization, okayed for the Liv players to participate in our championship, the PGA Championship, and also in the Ryder Cup. There's a few things they have to accomplish, but I think that's a very bold move by the PGA of America.
I think it's the first domino to fall. At least that's kind of my, my reading of the tea leaves. They, really nothing changed because they allowed them last year. It even gave Taylor Gooch an exemption solely based on his performance in Liv, and they were the first to do something like that. But they did allow, because the PGA of America membership, which comes along, as you know, Charlie, with the PGA Tour membership, well, that got suspended, but there was a grace period through the middle of this past year, and they have now allowed Liv players to be PGA of America members. And you're right, that opens the door for it. I look forward to future announcements of a categorization to where Liv players have direct access to the PGA. I don't know if there'll be a qualifying or a points list from Liv to ever be on the Ryder Cup. That'll be up to the captain, I'm sure. But I think this year's captain is going to do a heck of a job in terms of making sure he puts the best American team up there at Bethpage Black. And Keegan's just a great guy, and I don't think he's going to let petty politics get in the way.
No, he's got a chip on his shoulder on what happened to him on the last go around, and that's what happens when you let personalities into selecting the team rather than just go with points. But having said that, I think we're getting close to having golf back to a normal, if you can call it normal, way for these guys to make their money and play in all the great players together again.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure, even before the advent of Liv, the greatest, all the best, the top guys, the stars, if you will, they didn't get together more, other than the majors, more than four or five times a year, because the PGA Tour has so many events, and guys would, play the ones that their sponsors had them play, be it RBC or back in the day with Buick and all that. So there were, you obviously had more of the top players on a week-to-week basis, but not all of them, other than the majors. So I look forward to some sort. I know there will be a truce of some sort in the future. I don't know what's holding it up. Nobody really knows, gets reliable word out of those negotiations. And I know our side plays it very close to the chest, but I look forward to the day when there's not that much animosity amongst the players, except from a leadership standpoint. I think the animosity has been there because we disrupted the ecosystem a little bit. And to be quite honest, and I don't know where you stand on this, I know from our side, we didn't want to, but we were forced to because nobody would answer the phone when we called. So hopefully cooler heads prevail in the future and the golf fans get what they want, and that is, a more expanded ecosystem of professional golf, but a chance for everybody to be able to play together at certain times of the year.
You got that right.
Jerry, how important was it when the schedule was coming together this year that Liv got to the state of Texas at least once or twice, and turns out twice, but how important was that when making out the schedule?
Well, I mean, we have 14 events, and obviously we have a huge commitment to taking golf around the world to markets that are underserved from professional golf. Texas has a lot of professional, a heck of a lot of professional golf. Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, and Fort Worth from PGA Tour only. So I don't know if it was a priority. For me, it was, because Texas is one of the greatest golf states there is. I mean, this course is a great example of it. Merido is an absolute beast. It's stunning looking. It just looks like Texas to me. But the Texas golf fans, I played in the Byron Nelson, I think it was 1993, and I couldn't believe how many people were out there. And Texas is a golf-crazed state, and it's got so much history and heritage to the game of golf here with Byron Nelson and Ben Hogan, Jackie Burke. That you can't ignore that. So it's a very golf-savvy state, but it's also a state with a lot of young people with that are looking to have a good time, and that plays right into Liv's hands.
Yeah, this is we've got Jerry Foltz with us live on ESPN 97.5, Liv Golf TV commentator. Jerry, the format of the team championship is so fitting. The crescendo to Sunday, I think, is just awesome with the quarterfinals yesterday, semis today, finals tomorrow. As a broadcaster, how tough is it to balance the team aspect of things? Obviously, it's all team this week, but week to week, the team versus individual aspect of things.
That was the hardest thing at first. Now it's become second nature. It was so unusual or unconventional to me, other than college golf was the only time we really played teams, and once every 2 years, the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup. But it was so unconventional to me and so unusual. But then I started talking to the players. The first week in London, 2022, before we launched, I got in a conversation with Poulter and Westwood. And I was asking, because it was so weird to me. And they were 100% in from the beginning. They saw the business model. They knew the potential of it. They knew the ability to track fans that weren't golf fans to a team sport as opposed to an individual sport. And the growth of Live Golf and the merchandising and the fan base through social media has proven that. There are people, I think 27% of the people that attend the Live event have never played golf. That's pretty remarkable, actually, when you think about it.
You mentioned Rom. How much has Live Golf seen growth after getting John Rahm?
Well, anytime you sign the best or one of the best, I mean, there's no Scottie Scheffler's undoubtedly the best player in the world now, but one of the best players in the world and somebody with a dynamic and strong personality, and I think Liv has the majority of those guys, the guys that people really like to watch, whether they love him or hate him or love to hate him, you never know. I think that brings more eyeballs to it, whether it be through whatever avenue or whatever format or platform you consume your entertainment. It brings a lot more eyeballs, and it opens a lot more eyes that, you know, everything we've heard from this orchestrated narrative to try and maintain a monopoly on behalf of the PGA Tour, it might not be, you know, I might be able to make up my own mind and not let other people make up my mind for me. And we've seen a whole lot of that this year.
And Jerry, you had a great professional golf career yourself, but what are you most impressed with the young and up-and-comers on Live Golf, like a Eugenio Chikara or like a Caleb Surratt who just joined John Rahm's team?
Yeah, well, calling my career great is the definition of hyperbole. Yeah, I quit. They asked me when I quit playing. I said long before I retired. But when you see somebody like Surratt come out as the number one ranked amateur in the world and his college coach telling him, "You're not going to get another chance like this. If you don't take this deal, you're nuts." I mean, absolutely nuts. Eventually, the ecosystem will adjust. Caleb Surratt and those guys will be able to play their way into majors based on their live performance and whatever other tournaments they choose to play in. I think it's incredible. And what's funny is when you talk to some of the agents and team managers, they're getting more calls from those type guys than the guys who originally signed, which were stars. Who a number of them who were, you know, toward the latter stages of their career, but still huge stars and could still play and still compete and win majors like Phil Mickelson at the age of 51. But getting those young guys interested, everywhere I go, and there's a young college kid who played for Oklahoma State last year who's coming out here today, a friend of mine who I knew his parents growing up in Vegas. They're excited as hell. I had to get him 40 tickets. 40 tickets for him and his friends, all golfers, all serious golfers, and all golf nuts, to come out here and witness Liv.
Wow. Wow. Now, the fans were so involved yesterday at Merido. Charlie, I know you had a response there.
Yeah. You know, one thing that the PGA pros forget about is their customers, the spectators. The spectators are the thing that makes this machine go. And when Live Golf came to Houston, Will and I, we went out and interviewed some of these customers, if you will, patrons. And there were two fathers and two sons that had driven from Idaho or wherever, and they just wanted to see the product because they like to have fun. They want to see it open up more. And I think that's what the spectators want. The stuffiness, if you will, at Augusta is only for a few. But Joe Public, they like to have a beer. They like to sit down and they like to, you know, chat a little, and then they want to, you know, yell a little. So I think it's the right move for at the right time.
You know, Charlie, I got a story along those lines that I think really makes that accentuates that point. Excuse me. Last year, I got into a civil Twitter debate, if you can believe that, with golf fans of, let's say, our vintage, Charlie, me and you. You know, we don't remember taking our driver's test. But I got into a civil discourse with them online on the Twitter, and they were talking about, you know, they're old school and they just can't adopt this team format. It's so hokey to them. And then one of their colleagues chimed in as well, of basically well over 50 years old, or right at 50 years old. He said, well, I understand you guys saying that coming from your perspective. I'm a lifelong traditionalist myself, but to me, it's the only chance I get my 9-year-old and 7-year-old daughter to sit on the couch and watch 5 hours of golf. And last week, I guess it was a week after the Open Championship, I was watching the Open from wherever it was in the UK, and he said, my daughters came in and said, Daddy, how are the range goats doing? He said, that's enough for me to sell me on Live Golf.
Yeah.
That's a good point right there.
Yeah.
Jerry, it's been great to have you on the show. We have a minute left until break. One last thing. I watched yesterday on the Live Golf social media app. You did a great up close and personal feature with Anthony Kim. He's someone that, I mean, for players my age, we grew up watching AK and we thought of him as the next Tiger, and it's great to see him back this year. How has it been covering Anthony Kim?
Oh, it's fantastic. So inspirational. It took so much guts to be able to do what he did. He didn't have to do it. You know, he's publicly admitted to the demons he battled, and for so many people that we all know, those demons get the best of them when it comes to a tragic end, celebrity or not. So for him to rewrite his own ending as a father, as a husband, golf is minuscule in the big picture of life, and for him to do that and come out here and for the sole purpose of being a role model for his daughter by working hard, by believing in himself, by trying to accomplish something again that he doesn't have to do, I think it's beyond admirable.
Jerry, thanks so much for joining us this morning, taking some time. So far before the semifinals, for you to get here this early and join me and Charlie, we really appreciate it.
My pleasure. One of my old caddies was named Bill Doctor, by the way, just so you know.
That's Jerry Foltz, Live Golf TV commentator here on ESPN 97.5. This is the Charlie Hibbs Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
ESPN 97.5. The Charlie Hibbs Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Hibbs.
What an interview we just had with Live Golf TV analyst Jerry Foltz. Charlie, you and Jerry go way back. Great to hear his voice. You know, he came over from the Golf Channel 3 years ago, and he's extended his amazing career onto the Live Golf scene. And for those in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, you can get your tickets to Live Dallas right now at livegolf.com. You've got DeChambeau out here today. You've got Jon Rahm competing against Phil Mickelson's High Flyers. You have, you know, Cam, 2022 Open champion Cam Smith. He's facing off against Sergio Garcia. So, you know, Dustin Johnson in that fourth match. A ton of good golf. The game is developing in different ways, Charlie. I mean, I just read this morning that Bryson DeChambeau overtook the PGA Tour in YouTube subscribers. And I actually talked with Bryson on Wednesday night a lot about the inspiration behind his YouTube channel, and you know, he teams up with a guest, and they try to break 59 as a two ball. Bryson DeChambeau, really innovative player, obviously the U.S. Open champion, but it seems like he's breaking some barriers in the game, Charlie.
Yeah, there's so many diverse type of people that want certain things out of certain sports.
Yeah.
And you've got to be aware of that. And I think we're learning that real quick in golf. I mean, there's a place for the Augusta patron, if you will, the U.S. Open. But there's also places for different formats for golf that can be more relaxing and not as intense. So I think we're going the right direction. There's a big growing, things we have to get through.
But I mean,
the NFL went through that. Baseball went through that, and now here we are with golf.
And think about this week. What can happen this week in a late September weekend where golf is usually not at the top of the headlines? And just in the state of Texas right now, you could be at a professional event here in Dallas. Of course, you are at a pretty big time college event. At the side of the San Antonio Open, where your grandson Charlie Wiley is going to tee it up for TCU coming up. What do you look for when you're out there, kind of when you get a chance to watch the next generation of players? What's something you see, Charlie, from a player, and go, that really could lead to the next level?
Well, their body language tells you a lot. And if you watch it long enough, depending how they handle adversity. And that's what golf is. It's adversity. It challenges you. It's not a fair game. It's played with a round ball that can go anywhere. And the out of bounds is a penalty. And so with water hazards, I mean, the great Robin Williams described golf in a funny way. Golf, but it tries the mind. Jack Nicklaus always told me that golf is a game of emotion. So you got to learn to control your emotions. You don't want to get too high. You don't want to get too low. And more importantly, Jack would say, don't make golf more important than it really is. It's a game. These guys that I'm watching today are the stars of the future, and it's a game. But to them, it's really serious. It's a serious game. They got to relax a little more, like Titi Rodriguez, like Lee Cimino.
Wow.
Those guys, they had worse
things
to them in life than making a double bogey.
Yeah, no doubt. And we actually talked earlier this week with one of the best players on the planet, and Jon Rahm. He's had a very interesting 2024, Charlie, and he did not start off, he started off the year signing with LIV Golf, and the majors didn't quite go his way. He had the foot injury in Houston, which led him to withdraw from the U.S. Open. We asked Rahm on 2024, and really some of the themes of it not being a fair game and learning how to lose came up. Listen in to the audio from Rahm a couple nights ago.
Mentally, there's no difference from the first half of the season to the second one, right? It was more equipment change that allowed me to play some better golf. But it's just we play a sport in which you lose, right? It's about trying to manage your misses. It's a sport in which if you're not strong-minded and resilient, it's going to eat you up, right? So if you want to compete at the highest level, you have to have almost the hard-headed mentality of you just have to pull through somehow.
Yeah, and does that... When you remember some of the great players as far as handling the loss as well, like Chichi Rodriguez and like Lee Trevino, do you see some of that trait in modern day players, or is it a lost art, Charlie?
Well, they talk about losing in it's something horrible. It's not horrible. It's a part of playing a sport. You're going to have winners and losers. Now, the next time, if you lose, you try hard, and you come back, and Jack Nicklaus, it's just like you make a bogey on one hole, make a birdie on the next. Handle your disappointments. Handle the challenges of a game that's really kind of unfair. I mean, playing it in a cow pasture and trying to get a golf ball into a hole really doesn't make much sense. and they dress like some clowns. I mean, But that's the game. Enjoy it. Play it.
Charlie,
you know, watch it.
They're surely, they don't have the paper collar going like Arnold Palmer and Lee Trevino. That's for sure. They've lost the dress ability in golf. I mean, all the different patterns and whatnot. I mean, you know, you've got the, you know what my least favorite are is the shirts with the little cocktails on them. You know, like this is some game, Charlie. This is life. This is life.
Yeah.
And we are out here this week at the LIV Golf Dallas Team Championship at Merritt Oak Golf Club. It's quite a scene. A lot of people out here. And what a golf course. This is a golf course that has held great events like the Transmiss and the Southern Amateur, other big-time tournaments. And it's great to see a pro event out here. You know, we saw Golf Club of Houston host a live tournament earlier this year. That went, I thought about it, as well as Golf Club of Houston could have wanted that to go, as well as LIV Golf. And once again, stick around because we have Arlo White, LIV play-by-play broadcaster, joining us in the next segment. And if you come out, if you get your tickets to LIV Golf, you'll have the opportunity to see some of the best players in the world today. Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, Sergio Garcia, Cam Smith, Dustin Johnson. I'd say the only disappointing loss yesterday was the loss of Team Smash, which features Brooks Koepka. You won't get a chance to see Brooks Koepka the rest of the weekend. It's part of the Team Championship format. So get your tickets to come out to Merido and watch him golf today at livegolf.com. Once again, that is livegolf.com. Before we go to break, Charlie, I think we have a message for business owners looking for a little bit better HR performance. Do you have a place that you can send them to?
Yes, and it's all about how you treat people. And the philosophy for Insperity is they treat their people the best of any company in the world. And their 4,000 employees treat their customers just like they're treated. And it's all about relationships. It's all about getting the job done. But in the bottom line, it's just about being nice and understanding situations and solving them. Nice people solve hard situations, and that's what life's all about. And if the small business owner, you want some help, you want, you know, to really grow your business, give Insperity a call, and they'll come in, and they'll tell you what they're all about. And they'll tell you what they can do and what they can't do. But one thing they can do is they'll treat you in a professional manner and tell you this is it and this is not, and what is good and what is bad. So you do me a favor. Give them a call and then call us back and tell us how they treated you. Insperity, a company, it's an HR company that really makes the difference.
We got to take a quick break here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. In the next segment, we'll have Arlo White join the show. He's LIV Golf's play-by-play commentator. We'll get more in an in-depth look at the kind of format that they've gone by this year. There was some relegations in LIV Golf last week, and Arlo White came from Premier League Soccer, where he's very familiar with relegation. So look forward to hearing from Arlo, and make sure to get your tickets for LIV Merido at livegolf.com. See players like John Rahm and Dustin Johnson go at it today. As far as the other golf around the world, you have Rory McIlroy, Billy Horschel, and Matteo Manassero tied at the top at 14 under at the B&W Championship at Wentworth. That's on Golf Channel. You can watch that now. McIlroy, Manassero, what a showdown there at Wentworth in Surrey, England. We got to take a quick break. Arlo White's on the other side. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity. Back after this.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Oh, yes, we're here with Arlo White, LIV Golf play-by-play commentator. Arlo, great to have you back with us. How have things been since Houston?
Oh, busy. very, very busy, but a lot of fun. We've covered a lot of ground, watched a lot of fantastic golf, and I've spent a lot of time with Jerry Fault. So, you know, your sympathy would be welcome on that. Jerry's a great guy. And look, this crescendo that we've got here with the team championship and what we saw in the quarterfinals yesterday was amazing. So loved every minute of it. It's flown by in a flash, and I think it's going to end with a pretty special event here.
It was great to have Jerry on the show. You know, I'm so curious to get your thoughts on, starting with last week, some of the relegations that happened last week. And you came from a sport in Premier League soccer. You're very familiar with relegations. It's fun to have that aspect involved in golf.
Yes, and, you know, I feel for the players that eventually, when the music stopped, literally, who were below the red line. I mean, Pat Perez must have thought, this is it, I'm relegated from the LIV Golf League. And then all of a sudden, Calais Samoa, who played lights out Friday and Saturday, to get himself in the live standings out of the drop zone. This guy from Finland, there aren't many professional golfers from Finland. He earned his spot in the promotions event at the end of last season, one of the three golden tickets, if you like. And he gets himself out in the live standings of the relegation zone, which wouldn't have guaranteed him a spot next year, but it certainly would have meant he's not relegated. And he bogeyed two of his last three holes. It was heartbreaking to watch. But then, subsequently, it's a reprieve for Pat Perez. So last week in Chicago, the final regular season event of the year, there was so much to sort out. John Rahm won the individual title. Sergio Garcia usurped Tyrrell Hatton by 1 point. That was worth $4 million, by the way, to get third place.
Incredible.
But yeah, those guys that got relegated, they've got an opportunity in the promotions event to get back, but you've got a feel for them. But it's an aspect of LIV Golf that is absolutely compelling.
How tough is that for the captains to manage?
I think very, very difficult.
And the relationships they create over the years,
yes,
having to say goodbye to people, maybe.
Exactly,
I mean,
exactly. It just can't be easy. And I think, you know, Will, this is a league that is maturing. You know, there were certain guarantees that had to be made to certain players in order to cross the Rubicon, if you like, from the PGA Tour or the DP World Tour. So they were exempt for a year or two from relegation, but Bubba Watson was relegated. Now, Bubba has to make a decision now whether to go to the promotions event, or the Range Goats and the LIV Golf League themselves have to get in conversations with Bubba about whether, because he's Bubba Watson, because he's a great name and a great player and a great character, would it benefit the league and the Range Goats to have him back next year?
Wow.
My answer is probably yes, but it's not a straightforward conversation.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of the LIV Golf League. You know, as we mature, and people are going to get used to this and they're going to get more familiar with this, top 24... you're a lock for next year regardless. The open zone, you are vulnerable. It does come down to relationships and performances. But the relegation thing is real, and it causes a lot of issues for the individual player and for the captains as they look to build their teams for the following year.
Once again, we have Arlo White, LIV Golf play-by-play commentator, joining us. Arlo, the Texas fans brought the heat yesterday,
yes,
out here at Meridell. What a quarterfinals with some of the headlines going on. Team Smash going down to the Ironheads. Phil Mickelson and Andy Ogletree and co. They brought their best golf and are going to move on to the semis. What do fans here in Dallas and surrounding areas have to look forward to this weekend?
This weekend, it's just going to be special. I mean, the Ironheads yesterday, Will, let's put it into perspective. This was effectively a 1-16 team rocking up to a final regular season game, for example, and beating the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
You know, it was that surprising. They hadn't finished above sixth in the entire season. Brooks Koepka goes out and annihilated Kevin Na. And you're thinking, well, the Smash team, fourth, they picked the Ironheads, by the way. That's another aspect of the LIV Golf Team Championship. And then I'm looking at the scoreboard and I'm thinking, hold on a second. Danny Lee's up against Taylor Gooch. So that's going to be 1-1. So it comes down to the foursomes. No problem for Smash because they were four up with seven to play. McDowell and Kokrak against Kazuma and Scott Vincent. Scott Vincent, hole in one on 14. And you think, well, there's still three down. So that's a nice moment before he departs and we probably don't see Scott Vincent next season. Then they keep winning holes. Then it goes a clutch putt for Kazuma on their final hole. It goes to extra holes. Kazuma does it again. All of a sudden, Smash are out and the Ironheads are through. It was an extraordinary match and an extraordinary drama. And Phil produces his match play magic as well. So yeah, the fifth seed, Torquay, led by Watko Niemann, who came second in the overall standings. They're out as well. So two great stories yesterday. But now the big guns, they come into it at the semi-final level, at the semi-final stage. So you've got Bryson's Crushers, we've got Cam's Ripper GC, and we've got John Rahm's Legion 13. So those guys are going to be involved this weekend, and I think it's going to be pretty special.
And Arlo, as someone who came from the Premier League, and you know, I'm a fan of some other leagues like the MLB and the NFL, where you see the best teams of the year get byes, but at the same time, you have teams like the Ironheads, who maybe didn't play as well throughout the year, have a chance to win it all.
Yeah.
How satisfied are you with maybe how similar this format resembles some of the other team playoff formats?
I love this weekend. This is the third time we've had a team championship. The previous two were in Miami at Doral, and it just provides so much drama. And as you say, it's a clean slate. So what happened in the regular season now just doesn't matter, other than the buys for the top three that get through to the semi-finals today. So anything can happen. It's match play golf. It's the best of three. You've got to get 2 points. You've got to work out. And the good thing this year is the captains don't have to play each other. So we saw the likes of Phil go into the foursomes, and that worked for the high flyers. Sergio Garcia picked himself in the foursomes. Cam Smith has picked himself in the foursomes today to go head-to-head with Sergio. So you're seeing more strategy now from the captains in how they line up against each other. And I think that provides subplots and really interesting stories throughout the weekend. But I love this event. It's standalone. It's winner takes all. It's a clean slate. And tomorrow, with the final, with the final 14 to go through, is just going to be absolutely incredible.
A long way to go until tomorrow to crown the team champion. Who's Arlo White's 2004 Team of the Year?
That is a great question, and I hate to be like a front runner, but there's something about the Crushers. Bryson DeChambeau, defending champions, he's like the Pied Piper of world golf at the moment. You know, wherever he goes, people follow.
His YouTube channel just surpassed PGA Tour's YouTube channel in subscribers.
Goodness me. And that's just the how compelling people find him, how entertaining people find him. He just gets it. He's a man of his time. He's got the zeitgeist at the moment in the world of golf. And, you know, with Brooks and Bryson against Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy, they're also,
yeah,
he's also bridging the gap between the divide between, you know, the two tours. So, Bryson, Annibal Lahiri, Charles Howell III, and I'm missing one, Paul Casey. They're going to be tough to beat. Yeah. They're a band of brothers, defending champions. But as we saw yesterday, absolutely anything can happen. Don't rule out John Rahm's Legion 13. And by the way, Dustin Johnson's four aces had a shocker of a regular season. Yeah. But no one picks them. They're always left to play the team that's left to pick. And they could do some damage today. And if they get to the final, I wouldn't put it past DJ to win a second team championship.
And Arlo, we got some news yesterday from PGA of America. The best players in the world, we will see them regardless of tour at the Ryder Cup and PGA of America events. That's a big step in the right direction as far as getting these guys back together at some point.
It is huge, and I will look at it for you from a European perspective, where unlike the American team, which is run not by the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, the European Tour, have a 50% stake in the European team. So they make decisions as to who is eligible and who isn't eligible. Now, the DP World Tour has an agreement, a strategic alignment with the PGA Tour. Now, are the PGA Tour going to allow the DP World Tour to follow suit? Because if they don't, then you've got an American entity that is influencing who the European team can pick.
Wow.
And I don't think that's right.
You can't have that.
I think that undermines the integrity of the competition.
Yeah.
Now, it's a big leap for the DP World Tour to follow suit for the PGA over in America, but I think that is an aspect of it that has to be addressed.
Yeah.
And I hope it is, because I want to see the Europeans put out the strongest possible team that's not influenced by anything to do with the United States and the golf situation over here.
100%. And the Ryder Cup product is only, it has to have the best European players there, like Rahm. And because, you know, we saw at the last Ryder Cup, the European team all together, Tyrrell Hatton, they've proven over the last, you know, two of the last three Ryder Cups that they are a stronger roster than Team USA. Arlo White, we're out of time. We appreciate you taking some time to join us this morning right before the semifinals here at LIV Dallas. Have a great weekend. We hope to talk to you next year.
Anytime, Will. Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Arlo White, LIV Golf play-by-play commentator. Always great to have him on the show. You can catch him on doing LIV Golf play-by-play on the CW Network and the LIV Golf app. As far as the world of golf and what to expect today and this weekend, as we just talked about with Arlo, you have the LIV Golf semifinals today at Merido Golf Club. If you're in the Dallas Metroplex, you can get your tickets at livgolf.com. Come see players like John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, who, yeah, as we just talked about, we talked to him earlier this week. Bryson DeChambeau is quickly larging. His brand is quickly becoming larger than the game of golf itself on some degree. It's very impressive how he's built his brand. And then as far as other stuff going on around the world of golf, what a finish that is coming down to the wire at the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. I mean, you have American Billy Horschel in a tie for lead at 15-under alongside Mateo Manassero and Matthew Baldwin. Rory McIlroy is one back at 14-under. All of those leaders have four holes to go as far as the European Tour is concerned. That will do it for us here this morning on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Hope you enjoyed some of the interviews with Jerry Foltz and Arlo White. In case you missed those, you can find the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Apple Podcasts and Spotify at the conclusion of the show. We appreciate Austin Rodriguez on the ones and twos. We appreciate Charlie Epps joining us for a little bit. We'll see you next weekend, President's Cup weekend, next Saturday on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity. Talk then.
ESPN 97.5.